light bloomed before his eyes. Light and the sound of raindrops striking the ground, a relentless pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Gravis coughed and heaved himself up off the ground. He shook his head to clear the wooliness. The sound wasn't rain. It was tiny stones. It was helium. The memories flooded back into his consciousness. The meteor storm was still pounding the city. He couldn't have been out for long. He cast around, looking for his bolt pistol. He found it jutting out from beneath a pile of rubble and retrieved it, dusting it off. He stretched and felt a long gash on his left cheek tug uncomfortably. The flesh had already begun to knit itself back together, but his face was crusted with dry blood. Smaller wounds covered his arms like a spider's web or a chaotic street map. The scene all around Gravis was one of utter devastation. Behind him, a large boulder had slammed into the street, toppling a basilica. The building's metal substructure had buckled and warped, and it now described a twisted skeleton against the sky, having shed its rock-crete skin. The ground itself had risen in a vast wave from where the meteor had struck, ruffling the earth like a rug pulled out from somewhere deep beneath the city. Steam rose from the impact crater like so many ethereal spirits desperate to return to the warp. And all the while, the meteors continued to fall, stinging Gravis's already battered flesh. Gravis realized he had been flung out over the lip of the crater during the impact. He began searching the immediate area for the other scouts, but found only dead termagants, their weak bodies crushed by the wreckage of the building or shattered by the force of the impact. One of them was still squirming, its back legs clawing pathetically at the exposed soil. It made a high-pitched mewling sound as he approached, and then hissed viciously as he stood over it, turning its lolling head with the edge of his boot. He put a bolt through its skull, not out of any sense of mercy, but simply to ensure it was dead.
Sergeant!
He heard the call from over the other side of the crater and ran over to find Corbis crouched over the dead figure of Adil. The scout's body was covered in a fine layer of grit and stone, and Corbis was brushing it away with his hand, searching for Avil's corvea. He located the tiny bird skulls, and Gravis watched him tug them free, fixing them carefully to his own belt in tribute to his dead brother.
Was it the blast?
Corbis shook his head.
It was the Xenos.
He indicated a hole in Avil's armor, where a termagant's living ammunition had bored a hole through to the scout's chest, devouring his hearts.
Where's Tyrus?
Down there.
Corbis nodded behind him. Gravis started over, increasing his pace to a run when he heard a spray of bolter fire coming from that same direction, fearful that the scout had engaged the enemy. He crested a large mound of earth to discover Tyrus was, in fact, following his lead, quickly and effectively terminating any remaining aliens he found amongst the wreckage. He looked up when he noticed Gravis watching.
Avil is dead. We have a mission to complete.
The statement was matter-of-fact, pointed. The authority behind it was implicit. Tyrus nodded. Gravis could see the scout's knuckles were white where he clenched his bolt pistol hard in his grip. He was feeling the loss of his brothers keenly. Gravis smiled grimly. Tyrus would have his chance to avenge the dead, and so would he. The power station loomed out of the hailstorm like a jagged tooth, a towering edifice of pipework and fuel vats that spewed a constant stream of oily smoke into the sky for miles in every direction. This was the Generatorium, until recently the power hub for an entire quadrant of the city. Whatever else had become of the metropolis, however, this Leviathan was still operational. Or, at least, Gravis considered as they approached through the wide, ruined street, something was keeping it running. Gravis and the two remaining scouts ran through the pummeling rain towards their goal. Time was running out. It had been hours since their last communication from the captain, many of those hours lost to the meteor storm and their encounter with the termagants. Now was the time to act. Gravis scanned the approach to the Generatorium before ushering the others forward. He clipped his Auspex to his belt and reached for his chainsword. He didn't know what to expect inside the building, but he wasn't about to be caught unawares. Tyrus was first to approach the large, arched doorway. He stepped cautiously through the entrance, his bolt pistol held before him at arm's length. A moment later, he reappeared, indicating that the others should follow. Gravis and Corbis kept their backs to the wall as they moved slowly around the doorway to join Tyrus inside. The corridor beyond the door was dank and industrial. Bare metal plating covered the walls and floor. Exposed pipes wormed their way through the passageways like a network of arteries and veins. It was dimly lit, with only flickering emergency beacons to guide them. The stench of oil and burning coal was almost palpable. Gravis motioned for the others to be silent. He listened for a moment, trying to discern any indication of movement. There was nothing but the noise of a dripping pipe echoing through the empty corridor. That and the continuous background sounds of the meteor storm striking the building outside. He looked up, meeting the eyes of the others. They were injured and bedraggled, but their eyes shone with a burning intensity.
We need to find the reactor. That's the only way we can destroy this place without any explosives. We set it to overload, and we get out of here as quickly as possible.
Corbis straightened his back and flexed the fibrous muscles in his neck.
May the Emperor protect us. We will do our duty.
They set off down the passageway, their boots ringing loudly on the metal floor plates. They passed along a series of almost identical corridors as they wound their way towards the heart of the structure. The low red lighting cast long shadows, and the occasional clank of a pipe or the thrum of a power line kept Gravis alert and ready.
The place seems deserted, Sergeant.
But as they turned a dogleg in the passageway, it became instantly clear that it was not. They had come upon a bulkhead that had been dropped across the corridor, blocking their way. One of the safety barriers that locked into place during a shutdown. Gravis had considered turning back, finding an alternative route, but that meant doubling back, and worse, it meant wasting time. He consulted his Auspex. Going through the bulkhead was the quickest way to the reactor. They were only a matter of meters away. Once they were through, they could set the reactor to overload and get out of there. They would have to break through by blasting it with bolter and shotgun fire. He was about to outline this plan to the others when he heard the distinctive tap-tap of something ringing out against the metal floor plates. He glanced at the others inquisitively, but was met with only blank stares. He hesitated, a cold sensation spreading across his chest. There it was again, tap-tap, like the clicking of a claw. Gravis stiffened. His finely tuned senses could hear breathing now, a ragged, rasping breath, a hissing. Something drew a claw across a wall plate, scratching a loud warning. It was toying with them. He knew what it was. They'd been herded into a trap. Gravis turned to see not one but two gene stealers appear at the far end of the corridor, their heads bobbing, their multiple viciously clawed arms tapping the walls menacingly as they approached. Wriggling proboscises surrounded their mouths, and their eyes were blood red and shone with a startling intelligence. They crept forward, taking their time with their cornered prey. The scouts formed a line, keeping their backs to the bulkhead.
Don't let them get close. Don't let them get anywhere near you.
He knew firsthand what this genus was capable of. Gravis squeezed the trigger of his bolt pistol, spraying the gene stealers with shells. But the creatures were too fast. They pounced, launching themselves into the air, springing off the walls to land only centimeters away from Gravis and the others. Gravis's bolt pistol went spinning away down the corridor, wrenched from his grip by a glistening talon. Corbis squeezed off a series of shots, catching one of the gene stealers across its left flank, slowing it for only a second. It whipped out its claw and pinned the scout by the throat, dragging him closer, its proboscises writhing with anticipation.
No!
Gravis's chainsaw roared to life. He would not let this happen again, and he would not fail his captain. He charged the nearest alien, swinging his chainsaw in a wide arc, aiming to take its head off. The creature swiped at him with its claw, battering his blade to one side and sending Graver sprawling to the ground. He wasn't staying down, however, and twisted quickly up onto one knee, forcing the chainsword up. The Gene Stealer's claw came down centimeters from his head, but clattered uselessly to the ground as Gravis's blade tore through the beast's carapace, chewing out its belly. It squirmed and thrashed, but Gravis pressed the blade home even harder, swiveling it round to maximize the damage. He stood, grabbing a fistful of the quivering mouth tentacles, yanking the creature's head to one side. The alien's claws raked his chest plate as it tried to pull itself free, but Gravis was lost to his rage. He left the chainsword buried in its innards and reached for his combat knife. He looked deep into the creature's eyes as he buried the knife to the hilt in its exposed throat. That's for Erinus. The Gene Stealer squirmed once in his grasp and then fell still. Gravis dropped the corpse to the floor. Beside him, the other Gene Stealer still had Corbis pinned by the throat, but was also grappling with Tyrus, who had managed to draw his combat knife and was busy stabbing away at the creature's chitinous armor plating. He was bleeding freely from a long wound in his arm. Gravis calmly pulled his chainsword free of the corpse at his feet, stepped across the corridor, and wordlessly lopped off the head of the occupied Gene Stealer. It fell to the metal floor with a dull thunk, and the body went limp. Corbis and Tyrus both disentangled themselves from the mass of limbs. Tyrus was breathing heavily.
I told you not to let it get too close to you.
Corbis laughed grimly.
What now?
Gravis motioned to the bulkhead.
Through there. The reactor is on the other side of this barricade. Corbis, see if you can blast through with your shotgun.
He stepped back to make room for the other scout.
And be quick. I don't want to be cornered by any more of these things.
He kicked at the dead remains of the nearest Gene Stealer and moved off in search of his bolt pistol. The shotgun soon punched a series of irregular holes in the metal plating, causing the steel to splinter like rotten wood. Gravis kept watch, keen to avoid another encounter with the Gene Stealers that were likely haunting the corridors around them, drawn in by the sounds of the battle. Presently, however, the bulkhead issued a long groan, and a large section of plating dropped away, clanging loudly where it fell. Corbis called him over. Gravis approached the makeshift door, his bolt pistol clutched in his fist. He could see little through the hatch, a bank of winking diodes and controls. The reactor room. He dipped his head and pulled himself through the opening. And that's when he saw it. The biggest Tyranid biomorph he had ever seen, squatting inside the reactor room, its enormous dripping maw bared in what he could only imagine was a wicked smile.